If you'll turn back to this letter to Philemon. Over this month and last week, we're looking at lessons from Paul's prison letters. And for our communion season, we're giving particular attention to this letter, Philemon. It's a short letter, it's a personal letter, and it's a very precise letter. Paul is very careful with his use of words, and the letter is filled with meaningful wordplays. The name Onesimus means useful, and yet Paul says in verse 11 that at one time Onesimus was useless to Philemon, but now he's been made useful. Another word, and in fact the key word in this letter, is found in verse 6, and it's repeated in verse 17. The word is communion, our fellowship, our partnership, your sharing of your faith, your partnership of your faith, fellowship of your faith. Philemon is one who is in communion of faith. And then in verse 17, Paul says, if you consider me your partner, if you consider me one who participates with you, a fellowshipper with you, a sharer with you. And this fellowship that Philemon and Paul are involved in together is rooted and grounded in Christ. Because Paul is in Christ, a prisoner for Christ, and because Philemon is a beloved fellow worker or a brother, they are then in fellowship together. And this brings Paul to encourage Philemon to show this same fellowship to someone who has become a son to Paul. Philemon is then being encouraged to show the same communion, the same partnership and sharing of faith to a man called Onesimus. But there's a problem with that. The problem is Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave. But this runaway has now become reconciled to God. This runaway has now come to faith. He is now in Christ. And Paul is saying because he is in Christ, because he shares in the fellowship of faith, Paul says, I want him to be reconciled to you, Philemon. And this letter is a powerful, beautifully written, and theologically penetrating call to be reconciled. And as we consider lessons from Paul's prison letters and over our communion season, the lesson that we are learning today is that reconciliation is at the root of Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship, our sharing, our communion, our partnership, it's based on reconciliation. It's based on what has happened to us in Jesus Christ. At our pre-communion service, we saw how Onesimus, the runaway slave, was reconciled to God. He had been in a place of grace. He was a slave in Philemon's household, and Philemon is described for us as a godly man. We see that in verses 4 to 7. He's a man full of love, full of generosity. But Onesimus ran away from that place of grace, just like the prodigal son, leaving his father, running away from grace. Onesimus thought that he was running to freedom, but this freedom that he thought he now had was just guilt and shame. But by God's providential working, he finds himself in Rome, he encounters Paul, and through Paul, Onesimus is first reconciled to God the Father through Christ Jesus. From being without Christ, he is now in Christ, There's a word play in verse 11. The word useless also sounds like without Christ in the original. And the word useful sounds like in Christ or with Christ in the original. So Paul is using word plays. This is who he was, but this is who he is now. In Christ Jesus, a changed man, a runaway slave brought into fellowship with God's people. And now he's in fellowship with God the Father through Christ. Paul says he needs to be reconciled to you, Philemon. And this morning I want to see how Paul acts as the reconciler. Here is the reconciling servant. And Paul's words and actions in this letter, they give us a beautiful picture of how Christ has reconciled us to the Father. Because Jesus Christ is the true reconciling servant. He is the great reconciling servant. The reconciling servant. We see firstly, there is a debt owed. A debt owed. Onesimus, the useless slave, the runaway slave, he's stolen from Philemon. Philemon is at a loss because of Onesimus. Not just the cost of replacing a runaway slave, but Philemon has probably lost some of his property, some of his possessions, some of his wealth. That's been taken from him. If you look at verse 18, Paul is saying, if Onesimus has done this, and Paul is really saying he has done this. He has wronged you, and he has taken from you. Onesimus isn't just guilty, but he owes a debt to his master Philemon. None of us like to be in debt. If we owe money to someone, it hangs over us until we pay what is due. We like to clear our debts as soon as we can. And here Onesimus is in serious debt to his master, and it's a debt that he can't pay. He's used the money that he's stolen either to pay for his way to Rome, possibly like the prodigal son, he's squandered the rest. But we know that Onesimus has nothing with which he can pay Philemon back. And so this is where Paul steps in. Look at verses 18 and 19. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Charge that to my account. I will repay it. We don't know if Onesimus knew what Paul had written in this letter. Possibly he only heard it as the letter was being read out before Philemon. Or maybe Paul did explain to Onesimus what he was writing to Philemon. Either way, for Onesimus to hear that Paul says that he has taken the debt on himself, that would surely move this runaway slave. That would stir him. That would humble him. My debt is going to be paid by someone else. I will owe nothing to Philemon, because this man is taking the debt on his own shoulders. Paul puts himself in Onesimus's place before Philemon. Paul's saying to Philemon, I am making myself the guilty party before you. I am making myself the debtor before you. Charge it to my account. And for Paul to stress that he's going to do this, he takes the stylus or the pen from Timothy, who's probably writing down what Paul says. But Paul takes the pen and he writes in verse 19, "I, Paul, write this with my own hand, I will repay it." Someone said to me after the pre-communion service on Wednesday night, that's just like Paul highlighting what he's going to do. Writing it in bold letters, underlining it. And that's what Paul is doing here. He takes the pen from the scribe and he writes with his own hand in large, clear letters, "I will repay it." Count this debt as my debt. Count his guilt as my guilt. I will pay the price. For there to be fellowship between Onesimus and Philemon, there has to be a reconciliation. There has to be a payment made. Somebody has to be willing to pay the debt that's owed. And Paul takes on that responsibility. Here is the servant who reconciles these two parties. What does that remind you of? I hope it's abundantly clear to you this morning. I know you're ahead of me this morning already. You know there is one who has paid the debt that you owe. Paul is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's clear and it's obvious that this personal letter is more than just Paul trying to get two people together in fellowship. But it's a beautiful description of what Jesus Christ, the true reconciling servant, has done for us concerning our sin, our guilt, the debt that we owe before a holy God. Jesus Christ has said, "Charge it to my account. I will pay the price. I'll repay it." And there on the cross, Jesus Christ did just that. The debt owed. What is it that our sin deserves? What's the debt that's owed? The wages of sin is death. That's what we should pay. Eternal punishment from God the Father. That's what we deserve. It was there on the cross that Jesus Christ paid the debt in full, a debt that we can't pay, to be made right with God. He identified himself with us. He took our place just as Paul took the place of Onesimus. He became sin for us. He took our sin on his shoulders. He paid the price. He underwent the justice of God the Father so that we might be set free. There had to be satisfaction for sin. The offense had to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ said, "Charge it to my account. I will repay it." Whatever wrong we have done, whatever sin we've committed, as vile and rebellious as we have been, he paid the full price for everyone who is in him. Do you know that this morning? If you're a Christian this morning, there is no debt against you before God the Father. There is nothing that you owe to God because of your rebellion. Nothing. Because Jesus Christ has paid the full price. Every last sin, every part of the debt is complete. Jesus Christ said of you, "Charge that to my account. I will repay it." Through Jesus, we're reconciled to God the Father. Because the reconciling servant has paid the price. The debt owed is complete. Nothing left for us to pay. But then we see also, secondly here, there is a good standing. A good standing. Not only does Paul say he will pay the debt, but he goes on in verse 19, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. He says, Philemon, remember that you owe me. Well, what does Philemon owe Paul? Paul's answer is his very self, his very life. On a human level, it was Paul who brought Philemon to faith. It was Paul who first presented the claims of Jesus Christ to this man. Paul was used by God to set before Philemon the way of salvation. And in God's grace, Philemon came to saving faith through Paul's witness, through Paul's ministry. Now, Paul had never been to Colossae. It was possible that Philemon had traveled down to Ephesus, where Paul had spent several years. They weren't that far apart. It's likely that it was during that time that Philemon came to know Christ. And Paul now says, you owe me your salvation, your spiritual awakening. I proclaimed Christ to you. I took you through the scriptures. And because of what Paul has done, Philemon holds Paul in great esteem. Paul has a good standing before Philemon. Paul the apostle means the world to Philemon. Paul has goodness and worth in abundance in the eyes of Philemon. And it's this standing that Paul has before Philemon that Paul says, I am transferring that to Onesimus. What I have with you, Philemon, or what I have before you, is what I now give to Onesimus. Look at verse 17. Receive him as you would receive me. There's a transference taking place. Count my standing before you as his standing before you. Again, I know that you're working ahead of me. Who else has done this for us? Jesus Christ. There is one in Scripture who has transferred their good, perfect standing, their complete obedience, and they've transferred that standing that they have to the account of one who is weak, one who's guilty, one who's useless, one who's feeble, one who's filled with shame. Jesus Christ has done this for us. He not only paid the debt for our sin, but he has put into our account his righteous standing before God the Father. And his righteousness now covers us. His goodness is now treated as our goodness before God the Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Just as we are guilty in our nature because of Adam's sin, so in Christ Jesus, his righteousness is imputed to us. It's given to us. It declares us as having a good standing before God the Father. Receive him, receive her as you receive me. My standing before you. This morning, as you're in Jesus Christ, it's not just that your debt is cleared. It's not just that you owe nothing before God the Father. But you have an account of righteousness that is in abundance. Not by anything that you have done. Not by your own good works. Not by your own efforts. But because of Jesus Christ, our good works are only filthy rags. But we are declared good before God the Father because of Christ's good standing. His obedience to the law in his two distinct natures. His obedience in his human nature, being born under the law, keeping the law perfectly. Jesus fulfilling every requirement of the law. That's been put into your account. That covers you before God the Father. Think about that this morning. Not only has your debt been cleared, but you have a righteous standing before the Father through Jesus Christ. When we come before God the Father, we never come with any self-worth. We don't come with pride. We don't come boasting in ourselves. We come claiming only Jesus Christ. But we come rejoicing in that, worshipping because of that. We come thankful for that. We have free access to the Father through Jesus Christ. This is what Onesimus had through Paul. Paul says to Philemon, "Receive him as you would receive me. Count him as me. No longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother." Paul identifies with Onesimus and then presents his good standing before Philemon as Onesimus' standing. How much more for us in Jesus Christ? Jesus is the one who says, "Receive him or her as you would receive me." If they have any debt at all, I will repay it. My good standing is their good standing. This is what our reconciling Savior has done for us on the cross. And this morning as we come to the table, we're getting our minds set on this beautiful truth. We remember what it cost Jesus Christ to do this. His death on the cross, his body broken for us, his blood shed. But in that, our debt is paid. And his perfect standing is given to us that we might stand before the Father as beloved children, as righteous in his eyes, because we have a reconciling Savior who has done more for us than we could ever imagine or even think. Amen.